You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning, Every Nation. Woo! Thank you again so much, as Pastor Richard said, for braving the cold and the snow. I appreciate my dad. He used to say, whenever it rained, he said, "Wow, it's liquid sunshine." You know, I hope we could say that. You know, we're getting this. It's solid sunshine. It's still bright and refreshing. Great to have you this morning. We're going to continue in our mission series. How many of you have enjoyed these past few Sundays just hearing of the mission of God? Okay, yeah. And today we're going to continue, and we're going to look at the church's mission. Okay, so let's get stuck into this. You know, it was harvest time on the farm in Alberta. My wife was raised on a cattle and grain farm, and I got the chance to be part of that. A little island boy, you know. And the fields were green, were golden in color, and there was one focus at that moment. One focus was harvest. All hands on deck. Everyone was involved. We got to get that harvest in. It's ripe for the picking, and winter is coming. Because winter is coming. And so for several weeks, we worked together to bring in that harvest of barley, canola, wheat, and rye. It was an amazing time. The ripe fields of grain were cut and swathed, and they made long lines of this grain. And then the combine or the harvester would start up and begin to pick up the grain. And my job was to drive a truck. It was a huge truck. And I would drive it next to the combine, and the combine would fill this truck with the grain. And then I would drive to the farm, adjust the auger, which would take the grain out of the truck and into the grain bins. And we did this all day, from morning and even through the night at times. When it got tough, we couldn't go on. We worked until all the fields were harvested. And at the end, it was a real joy to see all those bins loaded with grain. It was amazing to see all of them loaded with grain. Now, in Bible times, it was very different. Okay, yes, those were dusty. I got to admit, they were dusty, they were tiring, they were dirty, long hours. I mean, we are working day and night. But in Bible times, harvest was very different. There was no machinery to bring in the grain. There was no lights to work through the night. There were no trucks to haul the grain to the grain bins. Just back-breaking, cutting, or pulling the stalks out of the ground. It was tough work. The grain stalks were stacked, and then they were laid out, and oxen were driven over them, or they were beaten with clubs so that the grain would be separated from the husks and the stalks. It was tough work. And then the guys would come in, and they would do some winnowing with forks, and they'd throw it in the air and separate the chaff from the husks and the kernels. It was a much longer, dustier, dirtier, sweatier process than what the Canadian farmer experiences. I wasn't a Canadian farmer. I'd never been. But I appreciate all the Canadian farmers. I wouldn't doubt that Jesus had this very thing in mind as he said to his disciples, "Do not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then harvest comes.' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together." Jesus was contrasting the physical harvest that they were seeing around them. They were probably standing in fields of grain, white fields of grain. And he was contrasting that with the spiritual world, Usually there's a time delay. You know, you plant and then you wait and then you reap. But in the spiritual world, there was an urgency. There is an urgency. It's always right now, right here. There was an urgency in Jesus' voice when he talked about harvest. Harvest. You know, you ever have understand that urgency in someone's voice when something's important? Well, over the past three Sundays, and Pastor Rich had started you out, we learned that this amazing harvest of men, women, and children only takes place because of three things: the Father's love, the Son's sacrifice, and what? The Holy Spirit's power. Yes, I heard the Holy Spirit being whispered. Yes, the Holy Spirit's power. But there's an added ingredient. There's an ingredient that finishes this job of the harvest. And what is that? It's us. It's you and me. We are the church, his called out ones. We partner in bringing the harvest in. And that is the church's mission. Partnering with God in bringing the harvest in. Did you know you're a partner with God right now to bring the harvest in? And sometimes it's dirty and dusty and tough and everything, but we're going to find out a little more about this. Just grab it. I'm dirty and, I mean, I'm not dirty. I'm a little dusty and tired right now from my little drive from Kitchener and a little dry. But we're going to talk about the harvest this morning. The harvest is so important to each of us, to this church. First thing, the harvest is ripe and ready. Tell the person next to you, the harvest is ripe and ready. The context of this scripture is in John chapter 4, where Jesus and the disciples are walking from Judea and walking to Galilee. And on the way, they had to go through an area called Samaria. Now remember, Samaritans were traditionally looked down on by the Jews because they were half-castes. They were mixed breed. They were Jew and Gentile mix, but they also mixed the Jewish religion with idolatry. So they were really not looked at with high esteem at all. Well, anyway, while they're walking, Jesus decides, okay, guys, I'm tired. Yes, I'm God, but I am a man also. We're going to rest a little. And I noticed you guys keep talking about food. So go into town and go get your food, okay? Go to your McDonald's or Taco Bell or whatever, Tim Hortons, whatever you need to get, okay? Go to town. I think the Samaritans have Tim Hortons. I don't know. Canadians do anyway. Anyway, they went away. And, okay, so Jesus is sitting, and there happens to be a well nearby, okay? And he happens to sit there, no way to get water, but he decides to sit by a well. And lo and behold, this lady comes along, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus says to this lady, hey, I don't have anything to get water, but can you give me a cup of water? She had her big water jar with her to collect water. And the lady was like, what? What is this Jewish guy? She was thinking in her mind, I'm sure. What is this Jewish guy talking to me, a Samaritan? And not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. And remember, in that day, women were treated less than equal in all cultures. It was terrible. But Jesus, here was Jesus saying, hey, can you give me a glass of water? And you know, she did. And as she was sitting there, Jesus starts sharing some good news that he is the source of eternal life. He is the living water. And then he starts prophesying over her life and sharing things about her life that no one could know except her. And maybe a few gossipers, or I think Filipinos say chismisers, you know, around town, you know, the word got out, this lady. Well, he finally reveals that he is the Messiah And she is so overwhelmed by that revelation that what does she do? She leaves her water jar, which in that day, the water jar was a means of survival. I mean, she was leaving her tool for survival and ran to her village. And she was so excited. She started sharing with everybody about this man that told her about her life and said he is the Messiah. People actually believed her. So she must have had some influence. All the people ran to Jesus. He began to share with them, and they believed in him. Amazing. Well, that's great, but listen to what happens next. In the middle of all this, his disciples come back, you know, hey, Jesus, we're back, you know, and wonder, why is our Messiah, this Jewish Messiah, talking to this Samaritan woman? What's the deal here? Well, Jesus was hungry like them, and they were trying to get him to eat. But he says something. He says that there's something happening here. Something happening here, guys. It's more important than the food that you have right there. That's when he says to them, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. See the fields. They're white for the harvest. Something more important is happening. One commentator suggested that when grain is fully sprouted and in peak condition for gathering, it approaches the color of white. A ripe grain field looks like a sea of white. That's what Jesus was referring to. The sight of those men and women coming down from that village, and they probably had white robes on. Can you imagine this? They had white robes on. It looked like a sea of grain, ripened grain coming down, a living harvest of people coming down to the Savior of the world. It was at that point that Jesus told his disciples that they had to lift their eyes up. Learn to lift your eyes up. Lift up your eyes and you will see the harvest is right here in front of you. You don't have to wait for it. It's right here, that harvest of men, women, and children that need Jesus, need the Lord. As long as there's one person who's not in the kingdom of God, there is a ripe and ready harvest. As long as there's one person who is not in the kingdom, there is a ripe and ready harvest for picking. All we need to do is lift up our eyes, look around us, and we'll see the harvest right here, right now. No, I got to make this personal, right? So, I get pretty dry up here for some reason. Maybe I need to stop talking. Oh, no, sorry. Some of you are saying, no. I was on a plane not too long ago, and I got on the plane, and I was next to the window, and I was hunkering down like this, you know? You know those times when you, oh, I hope I don't have to talk to anyone or look at anyone, you know? I hope no one bothers me. I just need some time by myself. And I looked over, and I noticed a guy next to me. He was kind of hunkering down too, you know? I'm sure he didn't want anyone bothering him. Well, we had kids in front of us shouting. We had kids in back of us kicking the seat. You know what that's like. And we were both grumpy. I know we were. Because I looked at him. He looked grumpy. And I'm sure I looked grumpy too. Well, the whole time, I just wanted to have a little time by myself. I didn't want to look up. And I probably look like this. I probably look opposite from what Jesus has said. I probably look like, keep your head down. Don't look around. Don't look around. But the Holy Spirit, and that's why we asked for the Holy Spirit, and that's why we talked about the Holy Spirit last week. The Holy Spirit woke me up. Thanks, Lord. And had me lift up my eyes and engage with the guy next to me. He didn't growl at me. He didn't yell at me. He actually started talking to me and started sharing some very troubling things that had taken place. I didn't know him from Adam. some troubling things that were taking place in his life, tough things that were happening all around him. And this led to some gospel conversations up to this point. Even now, we are still engaging. You know, that wouldn't have happened if I had not lifted my eyes and seen the harvest around me. How often I've kept my eyes down and said, Lord, I can't be bothered. Holy Spirit, wake me up. Wake me up. There is a great harvest all around us. Canada has a population of about 40 million people. And there are 24 million of those people who are either of another religion or have no religion at all. And that doesn't count those who claim to be Christians but don't have a relationship with Christ. 24 million people in this harvest. There is a huge harvest in front of us in Canada. And around the world, there's an even greater harvest yet. Found out there's now 8.3 billion people in the world. Isn't that incredible? 8.3, I can't even imagine how many people that is. 8.3 billion people. And at least 5.5 billion, I mean, these are staggering numbers, are of no religion or are of another religion. And again, that doesn't count those who say they are Christians but have no real relationship with Christ either. There is a great harvest in the world, a harvest that is ripe and ready for picking. But look, it's also an exciting time. I always see this as an exciting time, is that the harvest is actually coming to us. Look around this room. Look around you when you walk around Toronto. The harvest has come to us. The world has come to Toronto. The harvest is right here, right now. And like never before, it's accessible because of air travel, social media. People are more accessible to us, and places are more accessible than ever. It's incredible, and it's exciting, and it's wonderful. The Lord of the harvest is calling us to lift up our eyes to look and see. And by his Spirit, he is pointing out that the harvest is right here and right now. As long as there is one person outside of the kingdom of God, there is a harvest. Now, there's a harvest, and there's also a time limit. Just like when we were getting that harvest in on Jan's dad's farm, we were working hard. I mean, we were just giving her. Everyone is involved. And we'd eat on the run. We did everything we could to get that harvest in. Because why? There was a time limit. Either the grain would rot or winter would come and our machines would be of no use. Winter. I mean, you have a good illustration here outside, you know. You couldn't run your combines and your tractors. It'd be really hard to run them outside here. Winter is coming. There is a time limit. And so, secondly, the harvest needs harvesters. I mean, it's obvious. Duh, John. The harvest needs harvesters? There's a harvest? Yes, it needs harvesters. But Jesus said this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Okay, he saw the harvest. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. It's right here. It's all around us. It's ready for the picking. But the laborers are so few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Jesus had his eyes lifted up, and he saw the harvest, and he knew that he could not finish the harvest on his own. He couldn't do it on his own. That's why Jesus has invited us. Like on the farm, the work couldn't be done alone. It takes a team of workers. It takes those willing to go and labor in the fields, sometimes in the toughest conditions. I love that old, there's a little when I was young, there was a Filipino folk song that my mom used to sing to us. Planting rice is never fun, bent from morn till the set of sun. Cannot stand and cannot sit, cannot rest for a little bit. Planting rice is no fun, bent from morn till the set of sun. Cannot stand and cannot sit, cannot rest for a little bit. That was an intense time, planting and harvesting. And we learn about it. So Jesus is asking us as his disciples, won't you cry to God today, the Father, and ask him for more workers to bring in the harvest? We need to get this harvest in. There's not enough workers. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Interesting story. In 1843, there was a missionary, a very famous missionary. Hope you look up his name. His name was David Livingston. And David Livingston was treating the chief's son in an African village, and as he was treating him medically, the chief confronted him with a sobering question. He asked David Livingston and said this to him: since it is true that all who died unforgiven are lost forever, why did your nation not come to tell us of it before now? He was considering all his ancestors who had never heard the gospel before that Livingston was bringing to him now. And he was realizing, the chief was realizing, it was too late. It was too late. If the fields are not harvested, the grain, the fruit will rot, die, and be wasted. If the fields are not harvested, winter is coming, and it is too late. Jesus is coming again. In the same way, if the harvest of souls is not harvested, lives will be wasted. Pastor Richard shared with you John 3:16 on the first Sunday. And John 3:16b says, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can also translate that to, whoever believes in him will not be wasted. That's an actual translation of that scripture. So harvesters are needed. Let us ask the Lord for laborers, for workers, for the harvest. And don't forget that you and I, we might also be an answer to that prayer. Jesus asked them to pray, yes, pray for laborers. And right away in Matthew chapter 10, the next chapter over, he actually commissioned them and appointed them to go and make disciples. Look, they were the answer to their own prayers. You and I might be the answer to our prayer. Actually, we've all been invited to the harvest, and everyone has a role. We've all been invited to the harvest. Yes, we are to obey, but we're not being forced. We are being invited to loving obedience. Jesus invited this, follow me. And I really believe it was just an invitation. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The invitation has been sent. Are we willing to RSVP and say, like the prophet Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me? Or like the disciples in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, immediately after they were given the invitation, they left their nets and followed him. Leaving their nets meant they left their livelihoods, identities, and past ways of life. Jesus is inviting us to the great harvest. As God's partners, the church is called to embody and proclaim the gospel, demonstrate God's love, justice, and mercy in the world, and it involves evangelism, discipleship, social action, cultural engagement, and reflecting God's kingdom on earth. Just look at that real quick. These are the things God's calling us to as his partner in this harvest. How are you and I being invited? How are you being invited to this harvest? I'd like to tell a story of one person, actually a cousin of mine, who lives in New Zealand, of all places. Love New Zealand, beautiful country. Now, this cousin was praying to God and asking, Lord, use me in the nation somehow. And while she was listening to the radio, she was telling me she was in her kitchen listening to the radio, she was hearing this song about missions, and then this country name came to her mind. It was a certain country in the Himalayas that she had never, ever heard about. And it was like, whoa, what country is that? What is that? I won't even mention it because it is restricted access. And she went to the local university next that she lived near in New Zealand and found out there were students at that university from that exact same country. She'd never heard of it, but found out they were from this country. And so she went to meet them and invited them to her house, gave them hospitality, blessed them. And eventually she was able to become, she became for that university, the official welcomer for those particular students that were coming from that country. Isn't that amazing? What an invitation. She listened to God. She got the invitation. She was able to share the gospel with them and disciple, spent time discipling. And some of them were of the royal family of this country even. And she got a personal invitation to visit. And she went to this home. And while she was there, she told me, John, you know, I actually left Bibles around and literature. And one of them is loves Jesus and really wants the rest of her family to come to Jesus. It was really exciting. This cousin received quite an invitation. Isn't that quite an invitation to receive from the Lord? And her response was glad obedience. Glad obedience. I love that cousin of mine. I see she's doing things all over the world right now. She found her role. What is your role? Ask yourself, in this harvest, what is my role? Everyone has a role to play. I drove truck on that farm. That was my role. They didn't let me touch the combine because it was too complicated, you know, too many instruments. But that truck, I drove all day and I could run that. What is your role? What is the role God is asking you to have in the harvest? Are you also to welcome international students? Are you hearing the Holy Spirit's call to reach out with love to your relatives, neighbors, classmates, co-workers, and business associates? Are you hearing the call to pray for the nations, for workers, and the Holy Spirit's move? Are you being called to give at a new level beyond your tithe to missionaries and mission initiatives? And finally, is God calling you to go to the nations yourself? Maybe outside of beyond Canada, to be a campus missionary in another nation, to be a church planner in another nation, or to be part of a social action team in another country. You can ask Jan if you're interested in the mobile wellness centers. They do this, and they go to the poor and needy in different places, and they do medical work and pray for people, opens lots of doors, and even churches. A church I know was established through this. All of us can pray, all of us can give, and all of us can go. Is everyone okay? Okay, good, because I'm on the last point. Finally, this harvest is going to end with great joy. There's going to be great joy when this harvest is over. The Bible says, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the harvest or his sheaves with him. Jesus sent his disciples to reap the harvest. He sent them like his Father had sent him into this harvest. He commissioned them to go and win disciples in the harvest. And ultimately, they would return with great joy, because a great gathering of harvest came in. And ultimately, we're all going to see this. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, it says, after this, and this is John looking prophetically ahead to the end of the age, when all the harvest is gathered, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands. I think they were from Guam and Hawaii. And crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." An old hymn that I grew up with says, sings like this: "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." Mark and Gloria Zook were missionaries that were called to the harvest of the Mook people in Papua New Guinea in 1983. It took them only three years. It's amazing to me. It took them only 3 years to learn the language, and they began to connect relationally. And because of that relational connection, they were able to begin sharing the whole gospel through storytelling and drama. And finally, in December of 1986, the Mook people responded to the good news. And Joanne's going to play a clip and show you what happened when they realized that Jesus had paid the price for their sins.
Village believer stating that he too believes that Christ has paid for his sins. Itau, which means it's true or it's good, it's very true. Village grandma rejoicing that he believes, so does she. Different ones giving testimony as to their belief in Christ as their sin bearer. Mark saying that if they really are believing, then God's word says that their sin is forgiven. Itau, it's good, it's true. Spontaneous rejoicing breaks out. This went on for 2.5 hours.
We've considered your interest in our mission board, and I'm sorry we do not believe you are missionary material. You'll just be too old and fossil.
Gloria, don't fret yourself so over those people. Consider your health. You have children.
Mark and Gloria, as a church, we are standing behind you. We'll pray for you. We'll support you. Go in the Lord's name.
The story doesn't end there. The Mook village was further discipled, the church established, and the Mook themselves went out as missionaries to their own people and to tribes further away. Our mission, the church's mission, is to partner with God in bringing in the harvest. And I just want us to reflect on this. How serious am I about this mission? And a starting response would be to start by praying. And then we can begin to give. And then we can go. This year especially, we're encouraging our Every Nation family around the world to pray for nations, for workers, and for the Holy Spirit's power to move. Every Nation's mission 2029 focus is focusing on 20 new church plants by 2029. And it's a good starting place. And today I'd like to put that into practice. If you could all stand with me, we're going to pray for one of those nations. And I'm really praying seriously because right now I'm in contact with the leader there, and he's considering having us bring a team to Iceland to share the gospel to the students there. Some of you might be called to that. But as we start, I'd like us first to pray for Iceland. If you could get in groups of two or three or four or however many you want to join in your group, real quick, let's take a few minutes, just real quick, couple minutes, and let's pray for Iceland. Pray for the nation. Just join with each other in prayer. You could join in little clusters and just pray for Iceland right now. There's prayer points up there that true lordship and not just nominal Christianity would be in Iceland, unity between believers, every nation planters that would reach the next generation. We even have a missionary couple from, of all places, and you won't, this is an irony. They're from Hawaii that have gone to Iceland to be missionaries there. Our near neighbor, let's pray for them real quick. Amen. Amen. Just agree with me as I pray this prayer for the harvest. Father, there are vast harvest fields of men, women, and children who need you. Father, we ask for Canada, and we ask for the nations of the world. And Father, we know that there are not enough workers to bring in this vast harvest. We cry to you to send out laborers with your fire, with your love, with your zeal to win disciples and to rescue the hurt and helpless. Fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. And Lord, here am I. Send me. Empower me. Help me to be a faithful and joyful harvester in the fields all around me. And to the ends of the earth, I will pray, I will give, I will go. And in Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen, amen. Just put your hand on your heart real quick. And just repeat this after me. Father, send me into the harvest. Empower me for the harvest. I gladly go. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.